Chacham. Usually this is a Tanya share, and being that it's before Pesach, and being that it's also the yahrzeit of the Heilige Rebbe Rashab, who's the fifth of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, so I thought, you know, for Pesach, the way to prepare, by the fact that it's his yahrzeit, we should go through a mimer. And to go through a mimer from the Rebbe Rashab, we're talking about 10 pages over here, this mimer. So we're not going to do 10 pages. In fact, we may not even do a page. I printed out what I could. There's so much which is said in this mimer. It's an unbelievable mimer. If anybody wants it, I could give it to you afterwards. I don't know how, but I could figure it out. And going through a mimer, when you go through one of his mamarim, it's a world. He takes you into another world. The way he explains, the way that he's masber, he opens up a whole world of sugyos and chassidus. The Marebi once told me, I mean, I think it's different nischos, but Marebi, the way I heard it from my Rebbe was that the chassidim, they say that the Rebbe Rashab is like the Reb Chaim Brisker of chassidus. In the way that he's masber everything, he breaks everything down. And others say that he's like the Rambam of chassidus. So there's different nischos. I heard it from my Rebbe this way, that he's the Reb Chaim of chassidus. He's masber everything. He opens up a whole world. When you learn a mimer of his, you really feel like you're entering into a world of elikus. That's the nekuda. You're entering into a whole world of elikus. You feel like you're entering into a sea of godliness. It's almost unbelievable. So we'll try to tap in a little bit. What I'm going to do is at first I'm going to speak out in a kuda, speak out a sugya. And then from there I'm going to use him to be masber this sugya. So Pesach is coming. Leil Seder, and they'll see aspects of Leil Seder, the arkosos, the meaning, the maror, the chavrosos, everything. And everybody feels a special connection, everybody feels the uniqueness, which is that's special about the matzah. The achilas matzah is very special. Every single year knows, you know, the achilas matzah, how beautiful it is, and, you know, even though it tastes like cardboard, but, you know, we all love it, and we're all excited for it, and we're all getting all worked up to be able to eat the matzah. So I want to understand, what is the Indian of Achilas Matzah? Why is it so special? What does it do for every single Yid in Klal Yisrael? First, I want to explain what Chazal say. It's very interesting, Chazal. Chazal say, Eina Torah Nina Ela Lo'eichli Haman. The Torah wasn't given except to those who ate the man. Meaning, a prerequisite in order to get the Torah was you have to be one of the Oichli Haman. You have to be a person who eats man. So it sounds like from Chazal, it sounds like from this Chazal that the Eina Torah Nina Ela Oichle Aman, that what the man does, it prepares a person, it's mashpia on the person, it changes the mensch itself, that mensch should be a mensch who's going to be roi afterwards to be able to accept the Torah. Eina Torah Nina Ela Oichle Aman. What does it sound like? It sounds like what the man does something to me, that it prepared me, or prepared Klal Yisrael at that time, to be able to have a Kabbalah of the Torah, to be able to accept the Torah, which they were going to get later on. So I want to understand this. What is this Indian that there's, you know, there's a certain thing about a Maichel, which prepares the person, which is Mashpia on the person himself. So we have to go into a whole world. For those who were in the Tanya Shir, we've spoken about this at length. It's good to do some Chazara. But Mr. Shem, we'll try to do our best. So the very fundamental sugya, Indian of klipa. What is a klipa? We know that there's four basic klipas. Klipa is literally translated as like a shell. What does that mean? But so there's four basic klipas. The pasuk says, "Vihine ruach sa'ara ve'er vihine ruach sa'ara ba'al min ha'safon." There was a ruach sa'ara which came from the north. Anan gadol ve'esh mislakachas ve'noiga lois saviv. And the Sfarim explain that in this pasuk has all four klipas represented inside of it, which is merames inside of it. The first being the ruach sa'ara, that's one klipa. Anan gadol is the second. Ve'esh mislakachas, that's the third. And then afterwards, ve'noiga lo'isaviv, noiga is the fourth klipa, which is called klipas noga. So we have three klipas, and we have a fourth klipa, which is called klipas noga. So the question is, what is the difference between the first three? This farm breaks down the difference between the first three klipas and the fourth klipa, which is this klipas noga. So just to understand, what is a klipa? First, we said a klipa means a shell. What does that mean? So a shell on a pri, what does a shell do on a pri? A shell is mechasa over the pri. It means you're not able to see the fruit. The shell around the fruit, the pri, the klipa which is around the pri, covers over the pri, but you're not able to see the pri itself. So the same thing is true when it comes to a klipa. What is a klipa? A klipa is something which is mechase, it covers over our ability to be able to find godliness, our ability to be able to find avakus. Like the Rebbe Rishab himself says, "Inin a klipa shem defrodim legamri b'chinas yesh mamish." A klipa makes themselves feel independent. You feel separate from godliness. Why? Because a klipa means that I am mechasa over something, I cover over something. That's what a klipa is. So, when it comes to these four klipas, each one of them, they have a certain aspect that they cover over elokus. They don't allow us to be able to see elokus in this world. They allow us to be able to look and see how everything in this world is godliness. Everything in this world is elokus. That's called a klipa. But be'etzem, really, there's a difference between the two klipas. So there's these first three klipas, which is farm called the gimel klipas tameis. And then there's klipas noga. And the difference between the two of them is like this. The gimel klipas tameis, the sfarim say, are pure ra, pure evil. Which means that, of course, even though that there's godliness inside of everything, which gives it its existence, but these klipas, they completely cover over that you shouldn't be able to find any of the cook. They're represented by, let's say, things which you're not allowed to eat at all. Pork. I don't know, you can name me a bunch of different foods which are also to eat. Pork is a classic. Lobster. Lobster, that's a good one. Lobster. Lobster. You guys could all hack which food you find is the biggest klipa tameya. But every one of these foods, the pshat is in all these things which are usr, where do they get their life from? Where do they get their chiyas from? Each one of them get their chiyas from these gimel klipa tameyas. Which means that right now we don't have the ability to be able to take the elokus inside of them. The elokus inside of them is completely covered over until the azilavo, which will be able to even be able to tap into these things as well, which is a different sugya for a different time. But these gimel klipas tameis, they completely cover over elokus. We don't have the ability to take the tov inside of them and to reveal the tov behind the elokus inside of them. Meaning to say like this, let's say I would eat pork. Let's say I would eat lobster. And then I said, wow, that was schmuck. I feel strong. I feel energized. I feel ready to go. I'm going to go learn now for 15 hours straight. So you would think, maybe, I'm going to learn 15 hours straight after I had that lobster. So I would think that now, that lobster, there was a tov to that lobster. Maybe I took something, the tov inside of this lobster, and I used it for good, and I'm serving Hashem with it. It's gevaldik. That's why I'm saying no. The elokus, which is inside of that lobster, the elokus, which is hidden inside of there, is always covered over, and you're not able to bring it out even afterwards if you use it to serve a kodesh baruch hu. Masha Enkein. Now let's go to this fourth klipa. This klipa is noiga. What is noiga? What does it mean? The word noiga. The word noiga means or. Noga. It means a lashon of or. So on one hand it's called a klipa, but on one hand it's called noiga. It's called or. Why is it called both of these two lashonos, this klipa? Because on one hand, even though that a klipa is mechasa over elokus, it covers over godliness, you're not able to see godliness, but on the other hand, if it's done in the right way, you're able to reveal godliness through this achila. So when I eat something, let's say I eat a steak, which is the cut example we use here, let's say I eat a steak, and then afterwards I serve a kodesh baruch hu with my steak, so the tov which is inside of that food, the tov which is inside of the elokus which is inside of that food, I'm able to be mevarer it. I'm able to bring it out. I'm able to be nisgaleh it. And what I did is I was metaken that michael. I was able to fix that michael by the fact that I separated from inside of that michael, inside of that food, the tov and the ra that's inside of it. So every food has inside of it a tov and a ra. Some of them you're not able to reveal the tov inside of it. That's called the lobster. And other foods, which we call the steak, which is a kosher steak, that type of food, when we use it in the right way, when we're mevar that food in the right way, when we eat in the right way, and we serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu with that food, what we do, kafi, how much we use the koyach of the food, kafi, how much we use it for Torah mitzvahs, or the way the tzaddikim do it, which is a different story. But kafi, that's how much we're mevar inside of that Michael, the tov from the ra inside of that Michael, and we're going to be magal el kus inside of that Michael. Is that clear? Any questions so far? Clara? That's why the Tanya speaks out that these the different ma'acholim, which are called with lobster and things like that, that's why they're called ma'acholos asuros. What does that mean, something which is asur? Asur is like a base of surim. It's like it's trapped. It's locked in jail. Meaning the elokus, the tov that's inside of it, is trapped. It's locked away, unable to be revealed, unable to come out of its confinement. Mashi Enkein, the other klipa, the klipas noiga, which are things which are kosher, let's say, and I eat in the right way, or I don't eat in the right way, Chas v'Shalom. So that's called divrei rishus. Why is it called divrei rishus? So the Sfarim say, because you have the rishus, it's in your ability to be able to say, I'm going to make this Michael into a Michael which is going to reveal elikus, or I'm going to make this Michael into a Michael which is not going to reveal elikus. It's in your hands. The kfi, the way that you eat it, the way that you relate to this Michael, it's a reshut in your hands to say that this Michael is going to bring out godliness, or this Michael is not going to bring out godliness.
So mutter means untied.
Mutter means untied. Exactly right. Mashi enke and usr, which means tied. Mamela, what do we see from here, though? What do we see from here? We see from here that right, how this developed and why this came about. But Lamaisa, what we see from this is that there are certain foods that it's our job as the mensch to come to this food and to be mavara this food. Meaning, we are the ones who have to be matakin that Michael. It's the job of the mensch to fix the food itself. Ashi Enkein, when it comes to, let's say, man. Like we said before, what's the pshat by man? The Sfarim say that, what was man? Man was given to the malachim. The malachim, the food of the malachim, it doesn't need tikkun, it's a ruchnistic of food. And the Sfarim say, and we know this, that the man had no psoilus. They didn't go to the bathroom from the man. What's the pshat? Why now? What does it mean there's no psoilus behind the man? The man is a maichal, which is the etzim mitukun already. So Michael, which is already in its shlemas of, I am purely, completely tov. Therefore, the job of the man isn't that you're coming to work out the man, that you're coming to fix the man. The man needs to be mevara, a tov and merah. It's already mevara, it's already completely tov. So when we have a food which is already completely tov, there's a big difference in the way now that we relate to the food. Food which is not completely tov, we have to come to be metakin that food. But a food which is already completely tov, which is already pure from its psoilus, what does that Michael do? Not that we fix that Michael, but that Michael now comes to be mashpia on us. And it comes to change us. It comes to be mizakeh us. That's called Eina Torah Nitna L'Oichle Amon. That's the pshat. We said before, what is the pshat answer near the ochle man? It sounds like the man is a type of food that does what? That is mashpia on me, that prepares me to be able to be mekabel the Torah. It helps me to become roi, to become a kli, which is muchan, to be able to be mekabel the Torah. Why is the man able to do that? However it did it, that's a different story, but however it did it. The reason why the man was able to do that was because this is a food which is completely already mitukan. So Mamela, it's not that we're being mashpia on the man is being mashpia on us. And it's making us ready to be makabal the Torah. Is that clear? Therefore, Mamela, that's why Siddiqim, the Pasuk says by Siddiqim are Eichel the Saveya Nafsham. I forgot exactly the Pasuk. Sadiq Eichel the Saveya Nafsham. Sadiq eats to satisfy his soul. Sfarim explained that tzaddikim, when they eat food, it's not that they come to be mavar the food, but when they come to be mavar the food, they mavar the food so purely that that food becomes completely tov. The food becomes completely tov in tzaddikim, they eat the food. So the food that tzaddikim eat, which comes completely tov, which is completely mavur, now that food comes to be saveya nafsha, the Sfarim say. I mean, the food comes to them now in a way that the food is mashpia on them. That's why, you know, you're by a tish, and what happens? The Rebbe makes a bracha. And the Rebbe makes a bracha, and everybody's running after that food. Why is everybody running after that food? Everybody's running after that food, and they're willing to grab it with their hands, and, the way we grow up, we're like, whoa, that's the most disgusting I've ever seen. But they're all jumping after that food. Why are they jumping after that food? Because when a tzaddik makes a bracha on that food, the pshat is that he's mavar that food so purely that there's such a pure birur of toiv around inside of that food that you want to eat that food because that food now is going to be mashpi on you. That food has been mavar so well by the koich of that tzaddik that the tzaddik is oichel v'saveh nafsho that it comes and it's mashpi on him that therefore he wants to run after, they want to run after that food because that food is not going to be mashpi on them. That food is a food which is completely metukun by the koyach of that tzaddik. That's why also there's a word from Menachem Mendel Rimanover, that the brothers, they wanted to sell Yosef to Mitzrayim, or they wanted to kill Yosef. It was back and forth, should we kill him, should we not, but they put him into a boar. So they didn't know what to do with him. Should we kill him, should we not kill him? We didn't know what to do. So what did they do? What does the pasuk say that they did? The pasuk said that they sat down to have a suda. They sat down to eat a suda. And then all of a sudden, they knew what to do. Then all of a sudden, we'll sell him. We'll sell him down to Mitzrayim. We'll deal by Tzimachira. What happened? Why did they sit down to have a suda? And how all of a sudden, after the suda, they have their answer of what to do? So the pshat is like, based on what we said, it makes a lot of sense. Because when you sit down to have a suda, the way the tzaddikim they eat their maichel is that the maichel that gives you an ezan of what is Hashem, he says. The maichel is mashpi on you. So after the brothers, they sat and they had their suda, the suda was mashpi on them and it gave them an ezan of what is Hashem to know what to do afterwards, which is to sell Yosef down to Mitzrayim. It came, it cut off that suda, that's why they had the suda. The suda gave them the ability to understand what was their next step, what they should do. Klar?
Who's his name?
Menachem Mendel Rimanover. Memela. Now let's bring it back to the matzah, and then we'll try to understand it deeper with this mimer. Chazal say in Kedushin that they ate the man for 40 years. The Chazal, Klal Yisrael, they ate the man for 40 years. Gemara asked, they didn't eat the man for 40 years. So how do they eat the man for 40 years? The Gemara answers, the charara, the matzah that they had when they were leaving Mitzrayim had a tam man to it. And that was mashlim, their 40 years of eating man. So what do you see from this Chazal? It's Kedushin, Lam, Chesed, and Aleph. What do you see from this Chazal? You see from this Chazal that what is matzah? Matzah is like the man. Which means that this matzah is mevurer, just like this month. So in Mela, what happens now? That's why the matzah, there's no chametz in matzah. What is chametz? Chametz be'etzim is the yetzahara. That is what chametz is. Chametz is the koyach of ra. This means that this maichel, this man, has no ra inside of it. Meaning it's a maichel which is purely tov, just like the man is. So that means that just as the man was mashpia on Klai Yisrael themselves, ena tarnina ela uchle man, that would mean that the matzah also is just like the man, that every single piece of matzah that we eat by Lil Seder, it's not that we're being mavar the matzah, it's that the matzah is being poil on us. That's the pshat of the matzah. The matzah makes a pu'ula, every single matzah that we're going to eat by Lil Seder, is going to make another and deeper hashpar inside of us, just like the man did for Klaisha when they were Makabal the Torah. So what we need to understand, based on what we just said, if our yesod is true, what we need to understand is what is that hashpah the matzah gives us? What is it that matzah is giving to us? And for that, I want to learn this mimer. And as I was mocking before, this mimer is a whole world, and mimers are very, very hard to read. And I'm going to do my best to be able to explain every line. We'll do our best, but after this, I want to tie it back in, and we'll try to understand exactly what is the matzah being mashpia to us. And really, the Rishab in one place, before we look inside over here, he says it in another place just to give the idea, and this is really the answer. So you guys don't have this one. I'll read this one inside first. This is in Tuf Resh Mem Gimel. He says like this: L'havin inyan mitzvah achilas masa shenitzaveinu ba melakus yisparach ma'akel yisparach ma pulasa benefesh adam. What does matzah do to a yid? Can isa bezar kadosh? The matzah nikar michla de meminusa. Matzah is called the meichel of amuna. Shemechazik amuna b'nishem asisra. The meichel comes to be mechazik a yin in his amuna. Like it says in the pasuk, shechein aratz re'ei amuna. Something which is nourishes amuna. Meaning the matzah, every bite of matzah, what does it do? It nourishes a yid with amuna. Perish roya u'mefarnes amuna. It's roya, it's mefarnes a yid with amuna. Every bite of matzah gives a yid more and more and more amuna. K'mo Moshe nikar raya mehimna v'chulu. K'mo kin matzah nikar michad v'nusha shemefarnes amuna. So too, matzah is mefarnes a yid with amuna. It's mashpia into a yid amuna. Every bite of matzah that we have is a segula to give a yid more and more and more innate amuna. But what is amuna? And that's really what this mimer is going to do now. What is this amuna that every bite of matzah that we have, every bite of matzah that we take inside of us, we could think about that every single matzah we're having is more and more and more amuna the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's poil in us, like the man which is poil in Klai Yisrael, it's poil inside of us amuna, this matzah. But what is this? What is this amuna? So we'll start over here. Shin Mem Pei, Shin Mem Vav. That's the third line. And the Kabbalah words I'm not going to explain if we come across them, okay? Even though he really is explaining it if you go through the Maamar, and it's half of the fellow what he does. But the Mirtz Hashem, Yisrael could explain it afterwards. Matzah represents, it's called, the Berizal calls it Katnas Abba and Pri Yitzchayim. This means that this Bechina of Chachma, we know that Abba, the Sfarim tell us, represents the Midah of Chachma. The Chachma bin Adas, the Midah of Abba represents Chachma. Okay? Bechina is Katnas v'tzimtzum, meaning that it's a Katnas and a Tzimtzum. If it's a Katnas Abba, it means it's a Katnas and a Tzimtzum. L'hoyer b'kol echa v'echa b'nafsho l'chazek ha'amuna, that to be mayor inside of every single yid in amuna. Like we just read in the other piece that I read to you guys, that it's a Michael which comes to be machazik emuna in Klal Yisrael. So what is this inyan of this emuna? So here we go. The inyan who, the idea is, the mitzvah of emuna who me pasach anochi Hashem alakecha asher hazitichom eretz Mitzrayim, says the Halakha Rebbe, where is the source of emuna? It's from the pasach when Hashem said to us anochi Hashem alakecha that I took you out of Mitzrayim. The question is very blatant. Why is it that we say that this is the Elokus, this is the God which took you out of Mitzrayim? Why not say that I am the God that created Shemayim Ba'aretz? The Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz Chum V'Chinas Hadibur. Because how did Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world? We know Chazal tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, i.e. what? I.e. Asar Mamonos. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, idea the koyach of dibor, shehu bechinas ha'ara be'alma shemetzumtzum ma'oyd lefi oyven alamas mamish. That it's a ha'ara which is metzumtzum. What is a dibor? You know, I have all my thoughts out of everything that I'm thinking about, and right now I have so many thoughts going on in my head. What am I doing? I'm trying to find the right words to be able to say to you right now, that it should be understood. So, what does a dibor do? A dibor takes that which I'm thinking about and breaks it down into mitzamtimit in a way that it should be understood. So you're not getting the full blast of what the thought was thinking. You're getting a watered-down version, a ha'ara, a watered-down version of what that idea was, what that concept was. So too it is in the world. In the world, there's godliness inside of the world. Everything has godliness inside of it. But everything was created with the Dvar Hashem Shemayim Natsu. Everything was created with the Dvar, with the Dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means what? That everything in the world, which is mitzumtzum inside of it, kafi its inyan, kafi its place. Shemesabes b'kola oilam b'pinimis. That everything in the world has elikus inside of it. Ma'azen amar. And this we say, Look around and see who created all this. That it's shaykh to this, a re'iyah, meaning an understanding. What is re'iyah? Re'iyah means I understand something. So when Elokus is mitzumtzum inside the world, like Avraham Avinu, he looked into the world, and he was able to understand that there's a Ribono Shel'Olam inside of the world. The world means that I'm able to see Elokus, which is inside of this world, which is understandable to me. Right? And that's why, I mean, really the whole Chokhmah of Kabbalah is really also on a certain level doing this. It's being magic. Kadosh Baruch Hu is, there's a chokhmah, there's a bina, there's da. Different way Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia into the world. Right? That's what the whole chokhmah is coming to do. That's why we're so careful not to be magushim these ideas. That we shouldn't make these ideas that we're talking about like a human being, chas v'shalom. Right? And that's why the mikubalim speak about it a lot, not to make Kadosh Baruch Hu magushim, because we're talking about all the different midas of Hashem. Because there's a certain level of, by the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu did things through a dibor and he's mitzamting himself, there's a certain level of understanding that there is to that elokus. Therefore, there's also goyim who can understand that there's elokus. They can look around the world, they can see what's happening in this world, and they're like, oh, there's a God in this world. And many of them bring rayas, but there must be a God in this world. We don't come to this because of our chayk here in the world. We believe this because of our amunah pshuta. And ein ze bechinat ha'amunah shenis yachto v'Yisrael dafka ma'achar she'ev shalavo b'seich v'adach. But this is not the amunah of a yid. A yid amunah isn't an amunah that we come to understand. Meaning, that's elokus, like we said, there's certain aspect of God that we can understand that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. Because there's a Ribono Shel Olam which has watered himself down, kiviyachol, into this world. Ach ikar inyan amunah nishmas Yisrael rather, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Amunah is in an aspect of Hashem which is completely above this world. He's not confined to the side of this world. Which means that it's not understandable. There's an aspect of Elokus which is above all aspects of Him watering Himself down inside of this world. So the Ummah's Olam, they only come to Amunah and the Ribono Shel Olam by saying what? There's an Elokus which is inside of this world, because they see it, they understand it. But we don't go for that Amunah. Ayid goes for Amunah which is above all understanding. An Amunah which is about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is that He really is beyond all Gedarim, all confinements of this world. And that's where our Ik Amunah is, and that's where we live. We live in that Amunah. We don't have to come to understand Elokus, we come to, because that's very limited. We come to connect to Elokus, which is what? Which is above all Gedarim of this world. Any questions on that so far? Clear? It's a very deep idea. Yeah? Okay. V'zechu anoichi Hashem Elokecha asher tzitzicho me'eret Mitzrayim. This is the pshat. When we say, I am Hashem that took you out of Mitzrayim. Tahinu ha'yitzim v'chinas ha'mitzrayim v'ha'gvulim v'seder yishtalshalos. The Kodesh Baruch Hu Seder Yishtalshalos means making a world of confinement. That kol zeh hu b'chinas b'riyah shemayim v'aretz hanal. That the shemayim v'aretz came through their being gevulim. The gevul came ba'oifen hislab shesha or ba'oilon k'mo shekasati b'machma acher. What does it mean? How did there become a gevul in this world? Because the elokus became k'viyach ha'mugbal. So you see it's Mitzrayim means, that's called b'riyah shemayim v'aretz. B'riyah shemayim v'aretz means making an elokus which is mukbal, because it was through a dibor. So when I say that I'm coming, if I want to really talk about the main amunah of Hashem, I'm not going to talk about Shemayim V'aretz, because that's the elokus which is talking about godliness, which is mukbal inside of this world. But Yisias Mitzrayim means I'm going out of my Mitzorim, my Mitzrayim, my confinement, which means connecting to an amunah which is what? Way beyond any type of ruling. So I dafka highlight what? Not Riyah Shemayim V'aretz. I highlight Elokus which is above all confinement, which leaves the confinement. And that's called the Atmos HaOr. So therefore I leave that I don't talk about Shemayim V'aretz. V'yitzir m'mesharim t'kedusha now zem b'chinas anoichi. This is the Pshan anoichi, leaving the confinement. Shu b'chinas Atmos HaOr shemal m'seder shashalas. This is leaving the confinement which is called Seder shashalas. U'v'zehu ha'muna d'ish m'sar. This is the Amuna of Klal Yisrael. This is the Amuna.
What's
What is the difference in an avodah? He says, how does this pile now on the mensch? What does this do to the mensch? So he says like this. So the elikus, we understand, that's called Shemayim Va'aretz, like we said before. And then there's elikus, which is above our Hasada. Hushemetzada amuna yovelu bechinas bittel atzmi shalemal min adasa. Amuna, when we connect the elikus, which is above the confinements in this world, the way that affects me is that changes me in a way that I lose also my sense of self. That causes me to feel such a bittel to the Rabbanu Shalom. I don't know what term is bittel in English, but it causes me to have such a bittel to the Rabbanu Shalom that it allows me not to lose my own ani. I still feel my ani. When I understand this thing, when I understand this elikus over here, so I feel certain awe, feel certain bittel to the Rabbanu Shalom. But it doesn't make me lose my ani. Right? I could feel bittel to somebody. I could feel certain... I can't find the right word in English. I'm groping. Is there a good word for bittel?
Loss of sense of self.
Loss of sense of self. But still knowing that I am myself. But to feel completely consumed inside of elikus, to feel a complete bittel, that's much higher. That means I lose even my sense of self. I lost it. That's called bittel yesh and bittel atzmi. Bittel yesh is I still have my ani, but I feel bittel. Bittul atmi is I lose my ani becomes an ayin. Ani aleph nun yud becomes the aleph yud nun. Aleph nun yud becomes the aleph yud nun. Which means that I feel that I lost even my sense of my ani. And I become enveloped in elikus. All I see and all I know that there is elikus. And I become enveloped in that. Shalemalim in adas. Which ain't can begin as adas. Vasago hurag begins bittul yesh begins gvul v'mida. Like I said, Bakum Akhbar Rikhas. For who be Pinesha Makora Bittel, whom Asaga, since the Makora of the Bittel of my Yesh, meaning that I still feel my Ani, but I feel a Bittel, why is it that it comes that I still could feel an Ani? Because I come through Elikus, which is what? Still Masik to me. So if it's still Masik to me, it means that I still feel that I have a Yesh. So I still feel my Yesh, but I still feel a Bittel towards it. Therefore, my bittul is also only limited. Therefore, I can't say that I completely lost my sense of self. When I come to an amuna, amuna means that I'm tapping into an elikus, which is beyond confinement, beyond dibur, beyond shemayim v'aretz. It's an amuna of what? Yesiyas Mitzrayim. That amuna makes me feel that my ani becomes an iron. And then I lose that, I become enveloped. Like a fish in the sea which is enveloped in the water. I feel complete bittul to it. Now skip to the top of the next page over here. On page Shin Mem Zayin. So once we understand now that the difference between the elikus which we experience through Shemayim Va'aretz to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is that I completely lose myself, I completely become an ayin, my knee becomes an ayin, and I'm totally lost in elikus, we can understand now what the amuna does to a yid and how it's poil on a mensch. Anybody have any questions? Klar? Okay. I hope you're not lying to me. Dine Nisparla El. We explained before, back to where it's basically leaving off where we just were.
Just to get back to the matzah, we're saying the matzah is the bittul atzmi.
1 second, we'll get there.
Oh.
Yeah.
You asked a very good question.
Oh, okay, that's a good question. That's a very good question. But you're jumping the gun. So slow down there, buddy. Okay. So, this line over here is carrying from where we left off. We explained earlier that Amunah hu b'chinas orin sof shalem malam etam v'das v'asaga. Amuna means I'm going beyond tam vadas. I'm going to the atmis, or I'm coming to a true bittel. Who is kashrus atmis shalemal min asichel? This is a kashrus which is above all seichel. Between his bittel atmi, I completely lose myself. I become enveloped in elikus. Now listen to when a yid lives a life like this. Listen to what he says right now, and it's fire. Meaning mitzad madrega zu. When a person feels this madrega. When he feels this way, he becomes complete in his sur mirav and aser tov. Meaning, what? Something which is against the ratzon of Hashem, Lo yochul la'asot klal. He can never go against the Ratzon Hashem when he feels this type of bittul. V'mashuhu ratzonoi yaseh ba'avo v'chi b'yisera. That which Hashem loves, that what Hashem wants, he does it with a passion and a fire and a love. V'gam lo yeh me'uta b'nashah v'lumtza kol pratei harashu menagad elikus. V'kol zeh hu ayde emunah davka. To go against the Ratzon Hashem, to also love which Hashem loves, that comes through this higher level of emunah. The ma'achar she'iskasher be'elikus, because you connect to elikus, b'nogeya lo ha'dover b'nafshar mamish, it becomes so nogeya to you. Why does it become so nogeya to you? Because you become enveloped in elikus itself. You become a part of the achas of Ribbono Shel Olam. You now realize that all you are is a shtick Ribbono Shel Olam. That you're a part of that shtick of complete achas of Ribbono Shel Olam. So now what Akash Baruch Hu Kuviyachol feels, Akash Baruch Hu Kuviyachol wants, you become a part of that because of how deep of a bittul you have. And may the kol dover shehu menaged elikus, anything which is against that which Hashem would want, afil b'miktsas, even a little bit, yigdol b'inav ma'od, b'inav tekef lo yochol la'avor azaklah, the littles of air, you would never be able to be over. Because you completely relate, you're completely tapped into what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to be tapped into. P'nei shehu ritzono ha'atmei, she ritzono hu ratzon Hashem dafka, because you're ratzon, when you become completely enveloped in elikus, when you become completely enveloped in the atmos of Hashem, so now your ratzon becomes Hashem's ratzon. Your ratzon becomes Hashem's ratzon. V'kiyaduah she'nefesh margish ma'od kol davar menagad lo. We know that a soul, when a person has certain feelings when he shouldn't do something, which is against what he should be doing, the soul feels certain things. So too, it's true over here. V'anu roim afilu ba'ov de Hashem asher kama b'kama davar miyasech delo kebayit. Sometimes people, they do things and they don't realize that they're doing something which is not the Ratzon Hashem. Why not? Because they haven't come to the climax of Amunah, which is the climax of a bittul to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means that I become a part of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
How do we get to this level?
It's the whole point is that we're... The whole point is that we're coming to eat matzah, and that's what we're going to come to do. What time is it? 10 o'clock? Okay, let's just tie it all up. So I'll speak out the rest of it. So he said that because of that, we're not able to come. Because when we tap into the true amunah, we're not able to be over against the Ratzon Hashem, because we become a part of the mitzias. Just the last line over there. This is why we eat matzah. The matzah comes to me, mechazik amunah, meaning the matzah gives us the ability to tap into amunah. We eat matzah. Matzah is like the mun, like we said. So what happens when we eat matzah, when we eat mun? What happens is that matzah is poil on us, that it changes us, that it allows us to be nourished with amunah, that it makes us to be able to tap into amunah, which is above all tamadas. Which is the Muna, which becomes so bottled to Elokos, that we become part of the Mitzvahs of Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, that now my Ratzon becomes Hashem's Ratzon. I become a part of Hashem's Ratzon because of that. That's, I think, Pshat and Chazal. What is Matzah? Matzah is a lack of Chametz. Right? So Chazal tell us what? Ritzoneinu la'atzis ritzoneinecha. Our Ratzon Hashem is to do really your Ratzon. Mama Akev, what stops me from being able to do that? Hasa'or Shavi'isa. Chametz. So what stops us being able to do that? The chometz stops being able to do that. For my ratzon to become your ratzon, Hashem, and based on this mimer, it sounds very nicely because of the bittul of emunah that we have. A lack of ability to be able to come to that, to have the chayrus of the matzah. What does chayrus really mean? The chayrus of the yid really means that my ratzon becomes Hashem's ratzon. That's called the real freedom. So when I eat the matzah is like the manit mashpia on me in emunah, that I go out of all confinement. That I go out of the confinement, that I come to tap into a real amunah. Just to leave it all off, I'll leave it off with a remez. The matzah represents cheres. The matzah represents cheres. And cheres means that my ratzon becomes Hashem's ratzon. Person who's in confinement, who's in galus, means they can't do what they really want to, or what they're meant to do, or who they are. That's called galus. Cheres means that I'm able to do what I'm really meant to do. That's called cheres. So when I have the matzah, I'm representing my chayrus of going out of Mitzrayim, means I'm representing that I'm havna, which means that my ratzon is purely Hashem's ratzon. So how many matzahs do we have? We have three matzahs, let's say. And we know that the matzah in the pasuk is called lechem oini. Matzah is called lechem oini. So if you take three times lechem oini, it's gematria cheres. Because the matzah allows us to be able to tap into the cheres that we should tap into in emunah, that we should be able to feel the cheres, that we should be able to make the kashmir your ratzon is my ratzon. And that's the pu'ula of every single bite of matzah that we have on Lel Seder. So, we should be able to take this matzah with us, we should take the koich of the tzaddik, and we should bring him together with us throughout the whole entire year, and we should take the eating of the matzah the whole entire year with us, that we should live a life of emunah and a bittul to the Baruch Hu, and Hashem.